Right. Good morning, Vine Church. Woo, y'all sound like you're still in the bed. Good morning, Vine Church. Yes, that is much better. How great it is that we are in the house of the Lord today, and then we get the opportunity to turn this gym into a place of worship. And man, did we worship this morning. And not just because I was up here, but I'm just saying we worshiped this morning, and I felt you guys worshiping this morning, and I felt each and every one of us lifting our voices to the Lord, to the one who is worthy of every amount of praise we can ever give, to the only one who deserves that much praise and glory. And so I'm thankful for this opportunity to be able to continue our service today, to continue our series, How to Thrive in Christ. If I haven't met you before, my name is Alex Hanvey. I get to be part of the pastoral leadership team here at The Vine, and I am excited for what God is doing and what he has done through this series this entire year as we've walked through 1 Corinthians and as we continue today. But I just pray that God will use the message that I feel like he has put on my heart this morning to encourage you, to push you, and to challenge you to do everything that he has created you to do and to be everything that you are made to be in Christ Jesus. And so as we dive in today, I want us to think of a couple of things. And really, the title for this message today would be, what does it matter to you? What does it matter to you? You see, if we think about the things in our lives that matter, there's a long list we could probably all make. Many of the same things would probably be on it, some different. But our careers would probably be something that matters to you. Maybe your status with your coworkers or in that given career. Maybe your reputation within your community matters to you. Maybe your family matters to you. Your friends or those of which would be in your close circle. Maybe your health matters to you. But I hope that on that list would be your faith. And most importantly, your faith and relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray that that is at the top of your list of things that matter to you. But let me ask you this. What about on that list? Would someone else's faith be on that list? Does that matter to you? Ultimately, someone else's salvation. Because hopefully, as a Christian, that would be something that is near and dear to your heart, because we know that it is near and dear to God's heart. Because our hope and our salvation, we've seen put on display. You open this Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you read about God's love for you and for me in the person of Jesus Christ. And so I'm excited as we get to dive into what Paul is doing here in 1 Corinthians. But as we care about someone else's salvation, we have no control over another individual's faith or their salvation in Christ Jesus. But we can care enough to do everything within our ability to point them to Jesus, the one who truly can save them. And so as we walk through 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you already have your Bible, you can go ahead and open and flip there. If you have it on your phone, scroll there. If you want to join us on the Vine app, you can go to the vine.tv/app, download that, and you can follow along with the scripture and take notes. Or we have a Bible in the back, or if you're watching anywhere in the house or online, the passages and the verses will be on the screen for you. But what we're going to understand in this chapter, in these verses, as we start to unpack, is that these are the things that matter to Paul. In particular, the faith and the salvation of others. You see, the people in Corinth that we've been reading about and that Paul is writing to, they've been inundated and overwhelmed with many varying beliefs and thoughts and ideas regarding the resurrection. Some of those ideas are that the resurrection did not even happen at all, and that there is no such thing as a resurrection for anyone, but that it is just this life that we live, i.e. the Sadducees that we read about that interacted with Jesus and were around with the Pharisees in his time. Some didn't believe in a bodily resurrection, but more of just a spiritual resurrection, that the body was actually bad, evil, and corrupt, and they wanted nothing to do with it, so they hoped more so in a spiritual resurrection only. But we know that we get a new body at the resurrection. And we know that Jesus bodily rose from the grave because he demonstrated it in the fact that he allowed the disciples to touch the holes in his hands and in his side. And he ate with them. He was there physically with them. But others within the community that Paul is writing to, they have no idea what to believe because there are so many different things coming at them. Hopefully there were some who felt and held to the truth that Paul had already preached to them before. But I feel like there's so many people kind of in this same situation today with just Christianity in general. Because you hear so many ideas, so many thoughts, so many interpretations, and so many varying degrees of beliefs about Christianity. But what we know we can always do is go back to God's word, because God's word is true, and God's word does not change, and we can trust and rely on God's word to reveal to us the truth. And so Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he is doing this in order to debunk the lies and establish the truth of the resurrection. And you have to understand that the resurrection is foundational for us as Christians. Because this is a point that if we're untrue, Christianity falls apart completely. Christianity then becomes like other religions where there was this one really good guy, but there is still a field grave or tomb. See, that's what sets us apart is the resurrection. And Paul actually even writes this a little bit further in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verses 13 and 14, he says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. But I am here to tell you right now in this moment, your faith is not useless. The preaching that I do, that Pastor Tyler does, that Bible-believing pastors and preachers around the world are doing today is not wasted. It is not in vain, because we preach the Word of God and the truth of God, and we preach the risen Savior. And dear Lord, my prayer is that none of us will ever stray from the Word that you have given us, and that we may be so rooted and grounded in your word, Father, that there is nothing that can separate us from it. So as we get ready, let's dive into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to start with verses 1 and 2. And this is what it says, as Paul is writing. He says, now brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. You see, Paul is writing this to the Corinthian church, which is a group of Christians and some probably just churchgoers, not really followers or believers at that time. But he is writing this to a group of people that he has spent over a year and a half with, ministering, fellowshipping. You see, he spent this time with them in person, teaching, sharing the gospel and discipling them, helping them to come to faith in Christ Jesus and the truth of the gospel. And so he has grown over that time, because this is after he has already left. So this is years after he has been introduced to them. He has grown to love and care for them. Just like I would say I love and I care for each and every one of you and those who are watching online who maybe I've never met face to face or in person, but I love and care for you. And these people that Paul is writing to, they matter to him. Does it matter to you? And to me. And as he's writing, he says this, where he says, I want to remind you. Now, parents, you can relate to this and understand about needing to remind someone of something. How many times do we have to tell our children to pick up their clothes, to pick up their toys, to go clean their hands, to do something before or after we give them instructions, and yet it's not done? We have to remind them again. I mean, I was a good child. I didn't have to be reminded. I'm just kidding. My mom and dad's in the back, so they'll tell you the truth. But it's something that we are familiar with, of having to remind our children because they forgot or they lost focus. And this is where Paul comes in, because the people in the Corinthian, or in the church in Corinth, they've lost focus. They've gotten distracted. They've been led astray. And how easy is it for us in this world that we live today to be distracted by the things that don't matter, away from the thing that matters the absolute most? And we can be told many different things, be fed many different lies that deceive, try to take us away. But as Paul was writing this to the church in Corinth, so that that does not happen to them, he said, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached. Now, the gospel, the word gospel here just means good news. But we know, and what Paul is writing about is not just any good news, but the good news. The best news that you and I could ever have, and the best news that we will ever be able to share with someone else. And Paul is writing to them to remind them of this good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the truth of his life, his death, and his resurrection. And as I said before, Paul is writing this because he cares for these people. It matters to them how they believe in Jesus Christ, and that they are following him. And he goes on and he writes and mentions that they had received it already, where he had been there in person preaching and teaching to them, to inform them of what Jesus has done. And that they received it. They had already believed it when he had preached it before, but yet some were being persuaded away from the truth. And if we're not careful, if we're not daily spending time in God's word, that can happen to you and to I, just like it could to anyone else. Because we can start to believe the things that other people tell us that is not found or rooted in God's word. So it's up to us to make sure that we hold firmly and diligently to the truth of the gospel, so that we know exactly what God speaking to us. And we can identify when someone tries to go off the path of the truth of God. And he even mentions that they have taken a stand on this truth of the gospel. And that's a present tense, standing on the truth, because they are indeed working to hold firm to the truth of the gospel. The author of Hebrews actually writes, let us, those who believe, those who have surrendered and received Christ as our Lord and Savior, let us hold fast to the profession of faith. You see, because all it takes is for us to lose focus on the Word of God and on God himself and on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to think, okay, now, you know what? I received Christ, but now I'm going to work on my career. I'm going to build up what I can here in my time on this earth. And we lose sight and we lose focus. And then we start to hear things that lead us astray from the truth of the gospel. But it is for us to diligently, daily hold firm and hold fast the gospel, to the truth of God's word, so that we are not led astray. Because the world will constantly and continually try to pull us away from God. Even in the things that we think are innocent, like music. There is music that you listen to that you think, oh, this is nothing, it's fine, it doesn't influence me, but yet it is leading you away from the heart of Jesus. And there are storms that we will go through in this life that we, if we are not rooted in the Lord and in His Word, they will tear us down in a heartbeat. But if we hold firm and hold fast to the truth of the gospel, God's Word, we know that no matter what comes our way, that Jesus will never waver, that Jesus will never let us go, but that He will always be our steadfast anchor. And may we never believe the lies of this world that try to convince us of anything otherwise. You see, because the truth and the promise that we find in God's Word is that God does not change. He does not waver or change His mind from one day to the next. But God is true, and His Word is true. His Word does not change. It was written thousands of years ago, parts of it being recorded over thousands of years ago, and we can still trust and believe in everything that it says today. And so we go on here in chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, and it says, "For what I received," Paul talking about the gospel and the truth he received, "I passed on to you as of first importance." You see, Paul expresses to them that he shared the gospel he received, not the gospel he conceived. He didn't create it. He didn't come up with it. He didn't fabricate it or construct some story. But no, he received this from the Lord Himself and from the other disciples who knew Christ. And he goes on and he says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, Paul is preaching to them, and he is reminding them of the true gospel, the one that is unchanging and unending, that does not fade, that does not waver. And Paul says he makes sure that they understand, "I shared this as of first importance to you, because this is not a secondary thing. There is nothing in your life or my life that matters more than what we believe about Jesus Christ. There is nothing that matters more in your life or my life than what we believe of the truth of the gospel. Because our eternities rest on what we believe Jesus has done for us and who He is in our lives." And Paul wants them not to be led astray by the ways of this world, but to hold true and fast to the promise of God. And Paul knew and understood that there was nothing more important to them than for them to receive this truth, for them to follow exactly what God's Word says. You see, and it's important for us to understand who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. So let's break this down with what Paul wrote here in verses 3 and 4. Because he goes with the who. And it says there in verse 3 that Christ, the Messiah, the one that the Old Testament foretold, prophesied was coming, Jesus, He is the who of the gospel. And the what, that He died for our sins. But the good news, the great news, the best news is that He didn't just die and the story is over. But He died and then 3 days later, He rose again. His resurrection. This is what solidifies. This is what backs up the claims of what people said about Jesus and what Jesus did Himself. Without the resurrection, there is no hope for our future. Apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's nothing for us to stand on. But guess what? I'm not here to tell you about a man that is still in the grave. I'm not here to tell you about a man who did a lot of good things and people started a religion around and people made up stories about, but I am here to tell you the truth. The only truth that matters in your life and mine is that Jesus Christ was real. Jesus Christ lived the perfect sinless life you and I can't. And he died the death on the cross that you and I deserved as a punishment and a penalty for our sin. And then on 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And there is nothing else outside of that truth of the gospel. The whole truth. Because you can't just believe that Jesus was good without the resurrection and believe that you have received and follow the whole gospel. Because that is the gospel in its entirety. Who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and the fact that there's an empty grave right now because he is not in it. Because he rose and he is now with our Heavenly Father. And he is coming back. He is coming back. And when he does, what will you believe? Will you believe part of the gospel? Just the part that makes sense to you? Just the part that sounds good? Will you believe the lies of the world that try to make sense of everything that we find in Scripture? Or will you stand on the Word of God? Will you stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth that he is? Jesus said clearly, he is the way, the truth, and the life. None come to the Father except through him. There is no alternative. There is no backup plan. There is no shortcut or detour. It is only through Jesus Christ that you and I are saved and have hope for a future. And why did all of this, why did Jesus do all of this? Because you matter to him. Because I mattered to him. That's why Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, is because he could back up everything that he did and everything that was said about him that Scriptures foretold. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, Paul writes this to the church, and he said, he, talking about Christ, was delivered for our offenses, for our sins, for our mistakes, for our failures. Jesus was delivered on the cross. But the good news of the gospel, as he goes on and he says, and rose again for our justification. Because it didn't finish with the cross. It didn't finish when he was placed in the tomb. But he continued as he rolled the stone away and walked out of the grave. Because there is no good news for you or I today without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Paul wrote this to the church in Corinth so that they could continue to hold fast and stand firm on this truth. And I hope and I pray that each and every one of you in here and those who are watching online, I pray that you are holding fast to the whole truth of the gospel, that you are standing firm, that there is no hope without Christ, and there is no hope apart from his resurrection, where he defeated both sin and death. So if you are here today in this house, or if you're watching online, and you have never accepted or fully received Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you've kind of had doubts or questions or worries about things that you read in the Scripture or exactly what to believe or how to believe, I want you to know that it's okay if you have questions, but I want to assure you that you can stand firm on the Word of God and the truth of God. That is Christ Jesus. And I've been praying, and I pray right now in this moment that ears are open to hear the truth and the voice of God calling. That eyes are open to see so clearly and so plainly before you the love of Christ Jesus. And that hearts are open to receive and believe wholly and fully Christ as your Lord and Savior. What you take away from the gospel and what you believe of Jesus matters to me. And I pray that it matters of greatest importance to you today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for each and every individual who is here. Lord, I thank you for those who are watching online, maybe right now in real time, or maybe those who are watching online 3 weeks from now, a month from now, or even a year from now, Lord. And I pray that you are moving and stirring in each and every heart. Those here in person, those online that may be thousands of miles away from where we are, God. But you are there. You are near, Lord. Let each and every one of us feel and experience your presence, your grace, and your love. Lord, you put it on display in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel, the greatest news that we could ever proclaim to anyone, God. And I just pray that right now, each and every one of us receive and believe the truth. We will hold firm and hold fast to this, Lord. And if you are listening right now and you have never given or surrendered to Christ to believe him as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you and ask you to do so now. We're going to pray a prayer together, and everybody's going to pray out loud for the benefit of anyone who may be praying and believing as Christ to be your Savior for the very first time. But we're going to pray this, and I want you to understand it's not the words or the prayer that are special or save you, but it's the faith in your heart to believe that Jesus is exactly who he says he is, and that God rose him from the grave. Because this is salvation, to believe in our heart, to confess with our mouth, and we will be saved. So if that's you, I pray that you will surrender to the call of the Lord today. Surrender to Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent of my sins. I turn from my way to follow you. You live the perfect sinless life. I could not. You died my death on the cross, and you rose from the grave, defeating sin and death. Teach me to follow you the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And with every head bowed and eyes still closed in the house, if you prayed that prayer wholeheartedly, surrendering for the very first time to Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're in the house or you're online, we want you to respond, to let us know so that we can encourage you and lift you up and help you on this journey, because this is not the end of your race, but it is the beginning of your eternity with Christ. So if that's you, when I count to three, just raise your hand if you're in the house, or leave a comment online and let us know. 1, 2, 3. If you're in the house, just raise your hand. If you're online, leave a comment, because we want to get in touch with you. Send us an email at hellointhevine.tv, because we want to connect with you. We want to encourage you and support you and walk with you on this journey. Lord Jesus, for each and every one of us who are here today, I pray that you will continue to encourage us, draw us closer to you than we have ever been, Lord, and help us to hold fast and hold steady to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, I pray that in this time and in this moment, that you will open ears to hear you as we are on this journey, eyes to see you before us, and hearts, Lord, to receive you and everything that you have for us. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. And I pray that we can also, like Paul, that it will matter to us what others believe of Jesus. And we will go and we will share the absolute best news possible. That Jesus loves you. That Jesus lived, he died, and he rose again. And is coming back. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and stand with us as we worship.
Just got to sing in worship is from Psalm 136, where it talks about the love endures forever. Every verse you see will hear that. You will see David write that. His love endures forever. And as Alex just shared in Romans 8, 38 and 39, Paul is writing to the Roman church that neither height nor depth, nor demons, nor angels, nor principalities, nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus if we have faith in him. So right now, as Alex just shared with us, what it means to you to stand for the gospel. We live in a time where people are hearing the enemy whisper in their ear that it doesn't matter, that you're alone, that he doesn't love you. And there's an empty tomb, as we just heard declared, that shows his love for you. So I pray today, wherever you are right now, that you will be reminded of the sacrificial love of a father and a son, and that you would go share that with a world so desperately searching for it. We hope and pray you have an amazing week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.